42. Consequences. Sephandrius, bearer of the first gem, you must know better than to approach us by relying upon presumption of past relationship. Inside the increasingly familiar vision, Dalinar carefully knocked an arrow, then released, sending a black-fletched missile into the back of the wild man. The man's screech was lost in the cacophony of battle. Ahead, men fought frantically as they were pushed backward toward the edge of a cliff. Dalinar methodically knocked a second arrow, then loosed. This arrow hit as well, lodging in a man's shoulder. The man dropped his axe mid-swing, causing him to miss the young, dark-skinned youth lying on the ground. The boy was barely into his teens. The awkwardness hadn't left him yet, and he had limbs that seemed too long, a face that was too round, too childlike. Dalinar might have let him run messages, but not hold a spear. The lad's age hadn't prevented him from being named Prime Akasix Yanagon I, ruler of Aesir, emperor of Greater Makabak. Dalinar had perched on some rocks, bow in hand. While he didn't intend to repeat his mistake of letting Queen Fen manage all on her own in a vision, he also didn't want Yanagon to slip through it without challenge or stress. There was a reason that the Almighty had often put Dalinar in danger in these visions. He'd needed a visceral understanding of what was at stake. He felled another enemy who got close to the boy. The shots weren't difficult from his vantage near the fight. He had some training with the bow, though his archery in recent years had been with so-called shard bows, fabrial bows crafted with such a heavy draw weight that only a man in shard plate could use them. It was strange experiencing this battle for the third time. Though each repetition played out slightly differently, there were certain familiar details. The sense of smoke and moldy, inhuman blood. The way that man below fell after losing an arm, screaming the same half-prayer, half-condemnation of the Almighty. With Dalinar's bowmanship, the band of defenders lasted against the enemy until that radiant climbed up over the edge of the cliff, glowing in shardplate. Emperor Yanagon sat down as the other soldiers rallied around the Radiant and pushed the enemy backward. Dalinar lowered his bow, reading the terror in the youth's trembling figure. Other men spoke of getting the shakes when a fight was over, the horror of it catching up with them. The Emperor finally stumbled to his feet, using the spear like a staff. He didn't notice Dalinar, didn't even question why some of the bodies around him had arrows in them. This boy was no soldier, though Dalinar hadn't expected him to be one. From his experience, Aesish generals were too pragmatic to want the throne. It involved too much pandering to bureaucrats and, apparently, dictating essays. The youth started down a path away from the cliff, and Dalinar followed. Ahare Etiam. The people who lived through this had thought it the end of the world. Surely they'd assumed they'd soon return to the tranquiline halls. How would they respond to the information that, after 4 millennia, mankind still hadn't been allowed back into heaven? The boy stopped at the bottom of the twisting path which led into the valley between rock formations. He watched wounded men limp by, supported by friends. Moans and shouts rose in the air. Dalinar intended to step up and start explaining about these visions, but the boy strode out to walk beside some wounded men, chatting with them. Dalinar followed, curious, catching fragments of the conversation. What happened here? Who are you? Why were you fighting? The men didn't have many answers. They were wounded, exhausted, trailed by pain spren. They did find their way to a larger group, though, in the direction Yasna had gone during Dalinar's previous visit to this vision. The crowd had gathered around a man standing on a large boulder. Tall and confident, the man was in his 30s, and he wore white and blue. He had an Alethi feel to him, except not quite. His skin was a shade darker, and something was faintly off about his features. Yet there was something familiar about the man. "You must spread the word," the man proclaimed. "We have won. At long last, the Voidbringers are defeated. This is not my victory, or that of the other heralds. It is your victory. You have done this." Some of the people shouted in triumph. Too many others stood silent, staring with dead eyes. "I will lead the charge for the Tranquiline Halls," the man shouted. "You will not see me again, but think not on that now. You have won your peace. Revel in it. Rebuild. Go now. Help your fellows. Carry with you the light of your herald king's words. We are victorious, at long last, over evil." Another round of shouts, more energetic this time. Storms, Dalinar thought, feeling a chill. This was Ysereza Ilin himself, herald of kings, the greatest among them. Wait, did the king have dark eyes? The group broke up, but the young emperor remained, staring at the place where the herald had stood. Finally he whispered,
"O Ysir, king of the heralds."
"Yes," Dalinar said, stepping up beside him. "That was him, Your Excellency. My niece visited this vision earlier, and she wrote that she thought she'd spotted him." Yennagon grabbed Dalinar by the arm.
"What did you say? You know me?"
"You are Yennagon of Aesir," Dalinar said. He nodded his head in a semblance of a bow. "I am Dalinar Kul'in, and I apologize that our meeting must take place under such irregular circumstances." The youth's eyes widened.
"I see Ysir himself first, and now my enemy."
"I am not your enemy," Dalinar sighed. "And this is no mere dream, Your Excellency.
I know it's not a dream," Yennagon said. "As I am a prince raised to the throne miraculously, the heralds may choose to speak through me."
He looked about.
"This day we are living through, it is the day of glory."
"Ahari Etiam," Dalinar said. "Yes."
"Why did they place you here? What does it mean?"
"They didn't place me here," Dalinar said. "Your Excellency, I instigated this vision, and I brought you into it." Skeptical, the boy folded his arms. He wore the leather skirt provided by the vision. He'd left his bronze-tipped spear leaning against a rock nearby. "Have you been told," Dalinar asked, "that I am considered mad?"
"There are rumors."
"Well, this was my madness," Dalinar said. "I suffered visions during the storms. Come, see." He led Yennagon to a better view of the large field of the dead, which spread out from the mouth of the canyon. Yennagon followed, then his face grew ashen at the sight. Finally, he strode down onto the larger battlefield, moving among the corpses, moans, and curses. Dalinar walked beside him. So many dead eyes, so many faces twisted in pain, light-eyed and dark, pale skin like the Shin and some horn eaters, dark skin like the Makabaki, many that could have been Alethi, Vaden, or Herdazian. There were other things, of course, the giant broken stone figures, parchmen wearing war form with chitin armor and orange blood. One spot they passed had a whole heap of strange kremlings, burned and smoking. Who would have taken the time to pile up 1,000 little crustaceans?
"We fought together," Yennagon said.
"How else could we have resisted?" Dalinar said. "To fight the desolation alone would be madness." Yennagon eyed him.
"You wanted to talk to me without the viziers. You wanted me alone. And you can just... you just show me whatever will strengthen your argument."
"If you accept that I have the power to show you these visions," Dalinar said, "would that not in itself imply that you should listen to me?"
"The Alethi are dangerous. Do you know what happened the last time the Alethi were in Aesir?"
"The Sunmaker's rule was a long time ago."
"The viziers have talked about this," Yennagon said. "They told me all about it. It started the same way back then, with the warlord uniting the Alethi tribes."
"Tribes?" Dalinar said. "You'd compare us to the nomads that roamed Tubela? Alethkar is one of the most cultured kingdoms on Roshar."
Your code of law is barely 30 years old.
Your Excellency, Dalinar said, taking a deep breath, I doubt this line of conversation will be relevant. Look around us. Look and see what the desolation will bring.
He swept his hand across the awful view, and Yanagon's temper cooled. It was impossible to feel anything but sorrow when confronted by so much death. Eventually, Yanagon turned and started back the way they'd come. Dalinar joined him, hands clasped behind.
They say, Yanagon whispered, that when the Sunmaker rode out of the passes and into Aesir, he had one unexpected problem. He conquered my people too quickly and didn't know what to do with all of his captives. He couldn't leave a fighting population behind him in the towns. There were thousands upon thousands of men he needed to murder. Sometimes he'd simply assign the work to his soldiers. Every man was to kill 30 captives, like a child who had to find an armload of firewood before being allowed to play. In other places, the Sunmaker declared something arbitrary, say that every man with hair beyond a certain length was to be slaughtered. Before he was struck down with disease by the heralds, he murdered 10% of the population of Aesir. They say Zophix was filled with the bones, blown by high storms into piles as tall as the buildings.
I am not my ancestor, Dalinar said softly.
You revere him? The Alethi all but worship Sadies. You carry his storming shard blade.
I gave that away.
They stopped at the edge of the battlefield. The Emperor had grit, but didn't know how to carry himself. He walked with shoulders slumped, and his hands kept reaching for pockets his antiquated clothing didn't have. He was of low birth, though in Aesir they didn't properly revere eye color. Navani had once told him it was because there weren't enough people in Aesir with light eyes. The Sunmaker himself had used this to justify conquering them.
I am not my ancestor, Dalinar repeated, but I do share much with him. A youth of brutality, a lifetime spent at war. I have one advantage he did not.
Which is?
Dalinar met the young man's eyes.
I've lived long enough to see the consequences of what I've done.
Yanagon nodded slowly.
Yeah, a voice piped up. You're old.
Dalinar turned, frowning. That had sounded like a young girl. Why would there be a girl on the battlefield?
I didn't expect you to be so old, the girl said.
She sat perched cross-legged on a large boulder nearby.
And you're not really that black. They called you Blackthorn, but you're really more like Dark Tan Thorn. Gox is more black than you are, and even he's pretty brownish.
The young Emperor, remarkably, burst into an enormous grin.
Lift! You're back!
He started climbing up the boulder, heedless of decorum.
Not quite back, she said. Got sidetracked. But I'm close now.
What happened in Yeddah?
Yanagon said, eager.
You barely gave me any kind of explanation.
Those people lie about their food.
She narrowed her eyes at Dalinar as the young Emperor slipped down the boulder, then tried to climb up another side.
This is not possible, the Stormfather said in Dalinar's mind. How did she come here?
You didn't bring her in, Dalinar said softly.
No, this is not possible. How?
Yanagon finally attained the top of the boulder and gave the younger girl a hug. She had long dark hair, pale white eyes, and tan skin. Though she likely wasn't a Lethi, the face was too round. Reshi, perhaps?
He's trying to convince me I should trust him, Yanagon said, pointing at Dalinar.
Don't, she said. He's got too nice a butt.
Dalinar cleared his throat.
What?
Your butt is too nice. Old guys shouldn't have tight butts. It means you spend way too much time swinging a sword or punching people. You should have an old flabby butt. Then I'd trust you.
She has a thing about butts, Yonagon said.
No, I don't, the girl said, rolling her eyes. If someone thinks I'm strange for talking about butts, it's usually because they're jealous, because I'm the only one without something rammed up mine.
She narrowed her eyes at Dalinar, then took the Emperor by the arm.
Let's go.
But,
Dalinar said, raising his hand.
See? You're learning,
she grinned at him. Then she and the Emperor vanished. The Stormfather rumbled in frustration.
That woman! This is a creation specifically meant to defy my will!
Woman? Dalinar asked, shaking his head.
That child is tainted by the Night Watcher.
Technically, so am I.
This is different. This is unnatural. She goes too far.
The Stormfather rumbled his discontent, refusing to speak to Dalinar further. He seemed genuinely upset. In fact, Dalinar was forced to sit and wait until the vision finished. He spent the time staring out over that field of the dead, haunted equally by the future and the past.